Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and today our guest is Esther Blum. Esther is an integrative dietitian and high-performance coach. She's helped thousands of women permanently lose weight, eliminate the need for medication, lose stubborn belly fat, and reverse chronic illness. Esther is the best-selling author of Cave Women Don't Get Fat, Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous, Secrets of Gorgeous, and the Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous Project. Esther has appeared on Dr. Oz, The Today Show, and Fox News Live. It is my pleasure to welcome Esther to our show today.
Thanks for having me, Belinda.
Yeah, so I'm excited to dive into this topic for sure. So why don't we start by just filling in some of the gaps of your bio? Let us get to know you a little bit better. Tell us about the journey and then what you're doing to help folks today.
Yeah, well, one of the main reasons why I went into nutrition wouldn't really be complete without talking about my grandfather, Harry Blum, the Tonsil King of Brooklyn. He was a huge influence on my life. Both he and my father were physicians. My father was a dermatologist, and my grandfather was an ears, nose, and throat surgeon. And he trained my grandmother to be the anesthesiologist. So the two of them took out my tonsils in the operating room that was in their four-story home in Brooklyn. So if you can imagine, you know, oh, I'm 6 years old, I need my tonsils out. Nanny and Poppy are going to do surgery on me. I mean, it's pretty surreal. They had an operating room and a recovery room and a consultation and treatment room in their house next to their kitchen and dining room. So the whole staff, you know, would eat lunch there together. And so I was always, and my mother was a nurse as well. And so there was always medicine around me. I watched my grandfather and father do, you know, get calls from their answering service on weekends, do house calls, house visits, grocery store aisle consults. You know, they treated so many people so compassionately. And the science was so interesting to me. So, but I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to go to medical school. My father was like, I would never force you to do it the way my father forced me. So I went to nutrition because the academic requirements are almost identical to pre-med. It's just less physics. And, but you get like such an incredible education. And I just absolutely love the science. So I spent the first 5 years of my career in hospitals and then went rogue. After that, I really wanted to do functional medicine because I really didn't feel like I was making a difference giving someone 10 minutes of diet instruction after they'd had a major heart attack and then never seeing them again. There was no continuity. There was no accountability. There was no structure. It was just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And so I was like, I gotta change this and change the results and the outcomes of people. And I want to do it at a much earlier age where I'm promoting longevity, I'm impacting them. And now I do just that. I do work with diet. I work with metabolic testing and hormone testing and stool testing. So I really help people get to the root cause of their struggles, their health struggles. And in turn, I'm able to curate a really customized diet, a supplement plan, recommendations for hormone replacement if that's something that's needed, or referrals out to doctor if they need medications to treat parasites or whatnot. So it's really a cohesive approach. And the people I see have been to on average 10 to 15 doctors before they see me. They've been gaslit by the medical industry. They've been told it's all in their head. I literally hear this story from every single person I speak to. I went to this doctor. I know I have stomach issues. They told me it's all in my head. Or I can't sleep anymore since hitting menopause. It's all in my head. It's never in your head. All the people I treat are extremely dialed into their bodies and their own health issues and just haven't been given the proper support. So I come in and do just that for them.
That's awesome. And I know that this is, I know even with my own journey and struggle, it is not easy. And that is kind of the roadblocks that you hit. It's kind of hard to find the middle. And, you know, it sounds like that's kind of where you're at. It's like there's either this traditional medicine where it's take this pill, and not try to get to the root of it. And then there's some health practitioners, which isn't based on anything. I mean, like, just kind of like, it's just all supplemental based without any testing or any figuring anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, so, I do.
So it's hard to find that middle, like where it's like, we're not just going to do medicine. We're going to try to get to the root of the problem, but we're going to do it with diagnostic testing and finding out what really is the root of the problem. And that piece is missing a lot in the medical field, I believe.
Yeah. And it's missing, you know, in clinical dietetics too. I mean, I have a bachelor's and a master's in clinical nutrition. And not a single lick of supplements or research around supplements or functional medicine was taught, right? Because it was a clinical track. Yet all those studies existed. So then when I went and got my functional medicine degree, you know, I was given a binder of all these incredible clinical research studies on the effects of nutrients and hormones and stress and lifestyle. And like, I was like, where were these studies when I was in school? Mm-hmm. So that was very frustrating too, because the information is out there. So why it isn't built into traditional curriculums is beyond me.
Exactly. Wow. All right. So tell us a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, I shape my lifestyle around, I mean, my business is built around my family, really. So I created it. And I did that in time. You know, I started out when I was in a hospital setting. I did private practice. That was my side hustle or my night hustle. And then I worked for functional medicine doctor and started building out my practice until I could do it full time. So now, you know, it's evolved so much, Belinda, but now it's really wonderful. I mean, I see people Monday through Friday, and I have a lot of flexibility. I don't see people generally past 4 in the afternoon, so that when my son comes home from school, I can help him with homework. We can hang out. I can, you know, cook for my family in the evenings and just have a lot of downtime. So I still work weekends, you know, on writing and such, but I try to have at least one full day away from my computer. And that way, you know, I'm willing to work a little extra on the weekends in order to have those sacred afternoons with my son, because he's almost 14 now. And so I'm like still very cognizant of the fact that we won't have him living under our roof too long from now. He'll be out of the house. So I really try and take advantage of that and just have time to walk the dog and make a phone call and just have a lot of balance in my life. So I'm very grateful. I get to do what I do, make a really nice income, but also take great care of my clients and my own family.
Absolutely. And with COVID, has a lot of your appointments gone to video conferencing, or how have you managed that and through all of this?
You know, I was so ridiculously blessed, Belinda, because my practice was virtual before COVID. I saw very few people in person. Okay. To begin with. So it really, you know, I see people all over the world. I booked a new client in Germany and this morning, see people all over the US. I have tests sent to them, supplements sent to them. I have clients in Canada. So it really has, because I wrote 4 books, right? So that people read them, they've been published in many countries, in many languages. So people read them and come to me and say, okay, I want to work with you. So I'm blessed that I can do that. And it's just all over Zoom calls. And, you know, I do liaise with people's doctors, and I do that. The tricky part for me is finding people a good practitioner. If they can't, you know, I end up telling people that they have the power to fire their doctor at any given moment. And a client recently said to me, what do I do if my doctor won't prescribe me these hormones? I said, find you a new doctor. And she laughed. She was like, oh, right, that's an option. Like, medicine is a business. If you, it's like anything, right? If you had an employer you hated, you'd go look for a new job. Like, why do you want to go to a doctor who's gaslighting you or invalidating the fact that you physically don't feel well. You know, it's not an emotional issue. The emotional issues, past traumas can certainly play a role in your adrenal function health, but what you're feeling is certainly not in your head. So that's the hardest part for me, I think, is in working virtually, is like putting together a solid team. But I've managed to do an okay job at it so far, I think.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So what do you think that a couple of your superpowers are, like your greatest skill sets that have really helped you in owning your own business and being in business for yourself?
That is a great question. One is being very clear about my goals and being very strategic. So nothing happens for me by accident. I still to this day, every month, keep I have a whiteboard and I check off the boxes. How many new clients did I get? How many outbound calls did I do? How many podcasts did I do? How many speaking gigs did I do? You know, I've honed in on lead generation, which was my biggest struggle for many years. I was like, how am I going to figure out my leads? So I have now figured that out. I plan my year out in advance. You know, as we're talking, I'm sitting here looking at my wall calendar, which I have things booked up right now through May. So I really try and like be strategic about that. Collaborations are also a superpower, and partnerships. I have such an amazing network of practitioners, of clients, of friends, colleagues, and there is so much synergy that I bring to the table for everyone. I helped my own doctor build an incredible business, and she, you know, refers me people all the time now. Like it really, I think just putting good things out there with a lot of integrity is mm-hmm. also really, really, really important. And not being afraid to fail is the other thing. I've had very expensive, I laugh, I'm like, I've had very expensive learning mistakes in my life, but every time I go through them, I end up building my business more because they're always, the mistakes I make is, have been in trying to take other people's advice and taking my business in a different direction. And if it's out of integrity now, I just pull the plug. And so it's that, I think the insight from failure has been also a huge, huge, huge gift.
There's a couple of things that you said in there that I just want to, sometimes when people are listening, I know what they're doing because I know how I listen to podcasts. I'm walking on my treadmill. And then sometimes you miss a little thing. So there's just a couple of things I wanted to say. And the first is, I'm so glad you said it, but like, yeah, there are expensive failures. And I think that's people's fear, mm-hmm. but there's always so much growth in it, and you'll never have that growth or you'll never get to that mm-hmm. next stage. Mm-hmm. And you just call it, I look at some of the expensive failures that I've had. It's like, okay, well, I just went to school on that. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. What would you pay for a course? What would you pay for to learn something? And there was one situation for myself. And I always say, I earned my master's degree on that one. And because in the end, that's how much more my business increased after, like that learning from that mistake or from doing business with a particular, you know, group of people. It's like, okay, I learned a lot from that. It might not have turned out financially the way that I wanted. However, this is where it's led me to today. So I think that's an important piece that you shared. Talk a little bit about the lead generation. You have said, you know, I kind of really worked on that and figured that out. Can you speak to that just a little bit more for our listeners?
Yeah. So how I figured it out, it took me a good year to really understand, probably less than that, but to really have insight into where these leads come from. So every new client who comes into my practice, I track where they're from, right? I keep a list actually on paper. Paper works really well for me. I don't need it on Google Doc. I'll never open it. So for me, I have a paper folder and I write mm-hmm. down where every lead comes from. And I began to see in time, like podcasts. I mean, one podcast alone I did on Wellness Mama, that's a huge audience. I mean, I think I generated, about 8 to 10 new clients just from one podcast. There are certain doctors who refer me patients. You know, one doctor in particular, I had 6 new clients just from him last year. So, but all of these were built on relationships. Okay. Giving talks too. I just gave a talk for a colleague of mine to a very small group. Half of them are overseas. I've already booked 2 clients from an hour long talk. So, all of the talks I give are through relationships where I can ask people, hey, how can I contribute? How can I add value? What are the struggles of the people you're coaching? Okay, great. I'm going to give a talk addressing just those specific struggles. So really capitalizing on my personal connections and then resonating with their audiences generated leads too. So that's really important. And just doing a lot of outreach, you know, you can spend time in something else I think that's really helpful in generating leads is understanding people's problems. So I'm in certain Facebook groups like weight loss groups or exercise groups, and I see I'm able to contribute value. If people have questions, I can comment on, you know, give them answers, but B, I like to understand the problems that I'm solving and where people are at because I'm at a different place health-wise. Like diet, my diet's really dialed in for me. I've managed the emotional pieces. I've managed the physical pieces. Like there's very little struggle around diet for me, but for most people, it's a huge struggle, right? So I need to, in order for me to fix the problem, I have to see it from someone else's perspective who's in the weeds, who's in the trenches and who's like, holy moly, this is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. So I think when you do those things, when you do outreach, right, give talks every month, do podcasts, write articles, do a blog, do a newsletter. I give a masterclass for free to my mailing list every month religiously. And speaking to the specific problems. And if you don't know your demographic, if you don't truly understand your avatar or who is on your mailing list or who you're speaking to, like just do a quick poll. I do them all the time. I'm like, can you answer 3 questions for me? And if you do, I'll give you a free ebook that I just wrote for you. I'll give you a recipe book. Just give something and I'll always get some responses. Even if 5% of people respond, I'm so grateful for that. And they'll tell me very clearly what their problems are. And then I can use that. I literally will copy and paste or print out their responses and use those as subject lines for emails. People, when they know you see them and you are connecting to them and you're hearing their problems, they're going to want to come to you.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That was great. And I know that our listeners are going to benefit from that. The other thing that you mentioned, which I loved, and it's probably the biggest issue that a lot of small business owners have or entrepreneurs, and they just don't keep track of any numbers whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They keep track of 0 data. They don't keep track of where they're at. Like everything that you said, I'm a huge data girl. And like, how many followers do I have here? How many people tuned into that? How have I increased this? It's like, if you're not keeping those numbers, then you have no idea if you're doing better or worse, or where do you need to adjust? What behaviors do you need to address? I mean, like you have absolutely no clue. So the fact that you're doing that, and that's an important piece of what you're doing, I think is amazing, because I'd say that 80% of people, and then especially women, do not keep track of any numbers whatsoever.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's so prevalent in women. Women are terrified of numbers. Mm-hmm. So the truth shall set you free. Okay. So you're earning $250 a week or a month. Okay, great. Start there. Like the only place to go is up. Mm-hmm. And that's how, you know, I started out. I mean, years ago, I was earning maybe $2,500 a month. Then, you know, once I started doing tracking, once I started doing outreach, gift certificates are another great way to do lead generation. Give someone a free 45-minute or hour-long consult or a half-hour consult. You know, I give free consults all the time. Everyone gets who signs up with me gets a free consult, which we'll talk about at the end of this call. but yeah, it's like you have to track where you're getting your leads, and then you start to track what worked and what didn't. Like, there's nothing scary about it. And I believe me, this is coming from the girl who just would like close her eyes and pray every time she, you know, paid a bill online and was like, oh, hope I have enough money to cover this. You know, we need to empower ourselves and have open discussions with people around money and how they're earning it, how much, how did you get that much? Like, and having, maybe you need a good business coach that has helped me tremendously, is having a business coach, being part of women's groups that discuss finances, discuss money, how to build money, how to save money, what percentage do you need to start 401k? How do you do that? You know, all of these things, because the biggest challenge, aside from like medical gaslighting, the other real challenge I see with women, or what I hear, is I have to ask my husband for money, right? And some of us are in that position. Some of us are stay-at-home moms and we're becoming entrepreneurs. We have a side hustle, but right now we're caring for our three kids. No problem. But like, it's really important to figure out how to have your own money and your own income, your own side hustle, your own slush fund, if you will, so that you can make choices that are not that you should do things without discussing them with your significant other. You know, of course, communication is key, but it's a much more powerful thing to ask for support versus permission, is what I always tell people. And I'm like, figure out ways that you can do things even if your husband says, I'm not giving you this money, okay, or we're not taking from our collective savings, no problem. Figure out how to have some cash injection, if you will, so that you're bringing in something every month. It makes a difference in how you feel about yourself too.
It absolutely, but and another thing though, because there are people listening to this, I know, that are going to be like, well, my husband takes care of that and if I ask for money, I get it, no problem. So they're looking at themselves in a different sort of bucket from that. But I would also say that I see tons of women that either have lost a spouse or get divorced suddenly, and they don't even know where anything is or exists. So I just really encourage women to, even if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're contributing in taking care of your household and your family and everything is great, and even if you get the money that you need for whatever you want because it's kind of shared income, but you still should know where those buckets are. You should still know how things are being paid and what your financial status is, because it's important to just have an understanding of it.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. And you know, it's funny. It's no coincidence that I married someone in finance, because I was like, I need someone to teach me and to help me figure out money. And money was a huge stress in our marriage for a long time, because I wasn't as in the know as I am now. And frankly, having more earning power just levels out the playing field a lot more too. Mm-hmm. It really does. But, and now it's like it's really elevated our conversations in our marriage too, because it's really, there was no secrecy around it, but it really just feels like it's more open now. Now our options become different, right? When you're having open money discussions, then you can be like, all right, well, let's talk about our options. Do we want to take a certain amount of savings and like put it a down payment on another house? Or if you're divorced and struggling there, like teach your kids about the money too. You know, there's no harm in that. And there's no harm in you being the role model earning. I know plenty of divorced women whose husbands don't contribute at all. And they have like gone back to work, got second careers, and hold their whole family together. It's pretty remarkable. Opened up their own businesses. So in that case, if that is you, I would say don't do it alone. Definitely get a coach or an accountability person so you have some trajectory that's laid out in front of you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about outstanding accomplishments, something that you're pretty proud of or that pleased with. So
I've got a couple.
Okay.
Well, one was when I ran the New York City Marathon. That was just a really incredible, incredible day. I had started out, you know, the longest run I ever did was like 6 miles, and just did it. It was really, really amazing. And to run through all 5 boroughs of New York City, I mean, come on, the best. So, but also my book, I mean, my first book, I've written 4 books, but my first one, Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous. You know, the motto was your body may be a temple, but who says it can't be a nightclub? And, I really took Sex and the City and put it into a nutrition book. So that to me, that is such an accomplishment for me because, it still sells to this day. In 2020, I believe it was like October, November, Suzanne Vega listed it as one of her top 10 cultural must-have books. I was like, what? I almost fell over. And it, you know, it got me on, you know, so much TV, the Today Show. And eventually I went on Dr. Oz, and, it just, it really opened every freaking door possible. I really, if I don't write, I don't know if I'm going to actually write any more books, but just having that book under my belt is really, to me, such an accomplishment. Because the other reason why it's such an accomplishment is I did it without, my sales were huge, without any social media. It was all viral. It had amazing placement. It was in like Anthropology. It was in Papyrus. It was in every boutique store. Chronicle Books did a bang up job with distribution. And so, you know, that was remarkable too. And my brain was so unfettered with competition and social media. It was such a pure expression of, you know, of nutrition and fun. And now, like, every book I've written has gotten so much harder because there's just so much noise, and it's become much more an exercise in marketing and competition. And you see, like, the soul, because I feel like there's less and less soul with each book. I maybe shouldn't admit that, but it, I mean, really, it's like, the reason why Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous was so successful is I never read any other nutrition books. I just put on blinders and wrote from my heart. And so if I write another book, it's just got to be from the heart. It's got to be so different than anything out there, because this was so different than anything out there.
I think that that is so true, though. I think those are good, valid points to bring up. And when we first do something, it's really coming from a creative space and a passion space. And then after you have some success, then it's about, okay, now what can I do? And what else is out there? And how am I going to compete? And I think that we start to get bogged down with those things. And then that stops your creativity and your passion to really shine through. It becomes more about doing what people think you ought to do, or what you think is going to be the next best thing versus what you really want to write about. So I think that there's so much truth in that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you also, I had the bandwidth, you know, I wrote Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous after 9/11, when I couldn't sustain my practice. I had Fifth Avenue rent, I had apartment rent, and I had student loans, and, you know, the overhead with like supplements and everything. So it was, I closed my practice. I actually lost the lease to my office and couldn't find anything I could afford at the time. So in that year, and then I hadn't started working at Dr. Perricone's spa in New York City. So in that year, I wasn't really seeing clients. And so I was able, I had the bandwidth to do it. Now, in order to write another book, I'd have to stop seeing clients, and I can't. It would cost me more to write the book at this point. So I don't want to give up working with clients either. So it'll be interesting to see. People ask me, well, what are you writing now? I'm like, a blog and my Instagram posts, and I can give value every day through that, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Yep, I do. Awesome. So what's working from your happy place mean to you? This is sort of our signature question of the show.
Unequivocal balance in my life, like time, you know, balance with work. My clients are my focus all day, and my family is focused from 4 p.m. on. That is, to me, perfect split. Spending time outside every day with my dog or my husband or son, and just, yeah, quiet time. Really, like, turning off my phone by 8 every night. Just really getting quiet and centered, balanced is key.
That's awesome. So what advice would you give to others sort of wanting to go down this entrepreneurial road? You've given some great advice already, but is there something specific for people that are thinking, okay, this is what I want to do, or even specifically in your field of health and wellness?
I would tell you, don't just go out storming, you know, with hanging a shingle and expecting the world to show up. You have to do the work. So I do recommend any entrepreneur start off as a side hustle first and get proof of concept under your belt, get your numbers in where you're steadily earning, you know, and hitting consistent, you know, five figures every month or enough to sustain yourself wherever you're living, that you can pay your bills, put some money away, and put food on the table, then you're ready to launch into the next level. I do it slowly, deliberately, thoughtfully, and carefully. Elizabeth Gilbert writes in her book, Big Magic, like she talks about how people say to her all the time, I want to become a writer. I'm going to be a writer full time. And she's like, I would never tell you to do that. Have income first. The writing will come. You'll squeeze the writing in elsewhere. And I feel like, you know, money isn't everything, but it certainly buys you a lot of options, freedom, and flexibility. It may not make you happy in, you know, it may not fill your soul full bucket, but you have to have money to sleep at night and not be stressed all the time. I had so many years where I was struggling financially and in debt. And it takes such an emotional toll, and it makes you, it gives you a lot of grit and determination and lights a fire under your belly, but it can also be really super stressful, especially as you age and your resiliency can wear down in that department. So you know, it's romantic in your 20s, in your 40s, it's not pretty. So make sure that you are really like buttoned up financially before you jump, and hire a coach if you need to, invest in your strategy and invest in your structure and find things that you know will work for you that are effortless. The most impactful thing I've done for my business is just open up my Rolodex and call people and not be afraid to ask for help and say, Hey, I'm hanging my shingles out. Can you name three people that you think would want to receive a consultation for free? And that's really how it starts. And then you slowly build from there.
It is so true. I was coaching a client the other day and they just want it to happen magically. They want to hire another marketing firm that will just bring the clients in. I'm like, you need to just get on the phone. Yes. You need to roll your sleeves up and do the work. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, there's people that just want it to happen by magic. And you do have to dig in and you've got to be the one willing to do the work. And, you know, this last year, my whole business was built on not the whole thing, but 80% or probably 70 was built on speaking engagements at big, you know, conferences and arenas. And when that ended, and it ended, let me tell you, within 7 days, an entire year's worth of bookings were wiped out. And you're suddenly going, okay, what am I going to do? And I had a pity party for, you know, probably 3 or 4 or 5 days. And then I was like, all right, you better get to work and figure out a different way. How are you going to make it up? What are you going to do? And it was going back to a lot of basics for myself and, you know, building those lists like you're talking about and serving the client base that you have and calling them. I remember making 30 plus 1 hour interview calls in that time frame. That's when COVID first happened last year. And just saying, okay, what are you doing to get your group to pivot? What kinds of things can I be training on that would be helpful? And so that's what I learned, and I learned from them, and I wasn't afraid to say, I'm not really sure how to do this part because it's not something I've been doing, but I can learn it right now. And a lot of people said, oh my gosh, you're just working so hard. Well, yeah, it's like when you really have to fight for your business, you've got to pull your, you know, bootstraps up and get to work. And people are kind of afraid to do that, or they just want it to be easy. You know, they just want to They want the easy button. But the other thing that you said, which I think is so tremendous, and people just don't ask for it either. You know, I've been teaching this whole thing on bravery. Don't be afraid to ask for help. But it goes back to referrals. What you just said is all about referrals and having a really good, strong referral program and asking for three people that you know that could use a free consultation. It's like, oh my gosh, that will get you further than almost anything else.
Yeah. And having a referral program, you know, say you can give someone a 5% kickback of what you earn. Say, so for example, you know, okay, if you're a nutritionist, for example, call up strength coaches. That is like the simplest strategic partnership. Say for every client you refer to me, hey, can I give a talk to your group? No cost, no cost to attend. You offer them a 30-minute consultation with you. That's kind of your sales funnel. That's your gift. And, you know, you give, if the clients book with you, then you give them 5% return. So $100, if you're charging $1,000, you give them $100, you give them $50, like start somewhere. The act of acknowledging the appreciation, the gratitude for a referral is really key. Also, speaking of giving, giving a portion to charity is really important for your business. The act of giving, it's called tithing, and tithing mm-hmm. is really, really important. Like the months I do not give, I don't earn as much. It's like direct. It's amazing. And plus it just feels really good to give. It feels, to me, it feels very selfish to keep all of it. Mm-hmm. So I give. I either give to family members. Sometimes I'll give them medical tests that are expensive. I'll gift them to them. Or more often than not, I give to charities. Wounded Warrior, No Kid Hungry. Those are two of my big ones. But, you know, giving is really important. You have to give back.
You do. You do. We have been just helping out Feeding America right now. They're just so in desperate need, because even especially in just these last couple of weeks with so many people being out of electricity and losing all their food that they did have, it's just been really, really
terrible. Yeah.
So what are some new and exciting things that you are working on that you think that our listeners might benefit from?
Well, I am honestly, it's funny. I was going to host a retreat and I actually pulled it because it was taking too much time away from my private practice. So right now I'm doing my private practice, my one-on-one coaching, which is extensive hormone and gut testing and metabolic testing and curating and customizing diet and lifestyle supplements, HRT for people. So that is still ongoing. And what I'm working on really is strategic partnerships. So if you go to estherblum.com/cravings, you'll get a 3-part video series from me on how to crush your sugar cravings in 3 days. And you'll be put on my mailing list. And so every month I give free masterclasses. So for example, in March, I'm going to have this amazing, amazing mindset coach on. Where she teaches a self-mastery roadmap and activates, you know, massive action. In April, I'm going to have a trauma specialist come on, Dr. Donwood, who is to die for and really just helps people get through horrible PTSD and shift their whole mindset and their health. So it's, I think those are probably my next exciting things are partnerships with people. I'm doing an event with Nordstrom in April as well. So really fun, fun things and zero cost to attend, just an hour of your time that will enrich your life.
That's awesome. And can you just repeat for our listeners and for our guests where they can find you?
Yes. So go to estherblum.com. That's my website. If you, and that has all my social media leads and links, you can go to estherblum.com/cravings to get that lead magnet at the, and you'll get the 3-part video series and an ebook. And lastly, if you want to, I did open, Belinda, 5 spots in my calendar next week. If people want, and these are for serious people, not the so-called tire kickers, as I call them, but people who are really ready to take action and need help solving a specific health problem, be it weight loss, low energy, insomnia, menopause, digestive woes. If you go to estherblum.com/call, that's C-A-L-L, then you can get on the phone with me for 30 minutes. This is for five people. And that will, you'll leave with a customized plan of three simple strategies you can use to put into place, whether it's changing your diet or lifestyle, to help you start fixing those chronic health problems.
Wonderful. Well, gosh, Esther, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your insight, wisdom, and everything that you've shared about not only building a business, but how you're helping others make a difference with their health journey. I think that's so incredible and so important. And there are a lot of people out there struggling with it. So just to have some answers and maybe get a different perspective is always a really wonderful thing to have. So thank you so much for the work you do and for being a guest on our show today.
Thank you. Can I ask you one question? Is there time?
Yes.
How did you pivot? I think you should share with everyone, how did you pivot with your speaking gigs and your lead gen? Did you end up doing like virtual events? Like, what was the end of your story?
Yep. So of course, I made myself available with virtual events. A lot of the companies, they didn't know what to do either. So they just canceled their events at first. Some came back around and said, okay, I think some people were thinking we'll just postpone. And then there was no postponing for that year. Do you know what I mean? The year just ended. And so then now people are coming back around. But I didn't have time to wait for those companies to figure all of that out for themselves and their strategy. And so one of the things that I just started doing was a free training call every Tuesday night. And I was very consistent in my times. Like, so people started to know, oh, on Tuesday night, this is where she's going to be. And we also started giving away some different things. I went back and revisited if people got on my newsletter, what were they getting from us? Because it had sort of gotten old and stale. And so we went back and sort of revisited that as far as when those people would come in and how they became a new customer. And then what were the first three emails that they got? What was the journey that we sent them on? So we became very, very specific about that. But just showing up on that Tuesday night, I'm not kidding, that was incredible. We started out, I had about 300 people showing up on a Tuesday night, which isn't bad. Some people would say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But not too terribly long. Like we'll have right now, I'll be on Tuesday night and I'll have 2,000 people on Tuesday night.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And every week I ask, if it's your first time here, please say it's your first time. And every single week we are all just blown away by how many people say, I've never heard of you before. This is my first time. I was invited by somebody else. And so I just became laser focused of doing things kind of like I did when I first was building myself 25 years ago. And the one thing that I did, and I encourage people to do this sometimes, and it's hard for people to do. So I've been doing this for 26 years later on this year. And I pretended like I was brand spanking new and I was just hanging my shingle out for the first day. And what would I do? What would I do if I were a brand new business? Because we get in our own way, and even my staff was, well, we've done it this way, or this is how we did it before. This is what happened before. And I had to, they kind of got aggravated with me, I'd have to say, but I had to almost keep pushing them to say, no, we're not doing it like that before. How would we do it today? We're brand new. We're brand new. We don't have any, you know, understanding of what we did before. Like I had to get them off of that and think about how would we do it today. And of course, you always have that things in the background that have worked or haven't, you know, that's what you carry forward with you, but not letting those things get in your way. And I always encourage people to pretend like, relaunch yourself and pretend like you're brand spanking new, and how would you do it today? That's hard for a lot of people because you have to stay in the mindset of I'm brand new. And then the other thing that I did, which I had already been doing a lot of research on, is so I have a planner that I offer and sell to entrepreneurs because I'm a big paper girl too. And if it's written down, you're more likely to do it and you'll be more proactive in your business than reactive to your business. So But we had already sort of decided to add a gratitude journal. We were in the process of getting it ready to go out alongside the planner just because of the research I've done. People that keep gratitude journals are 40% have a greater chance of hitting their goals, you know, and then there's a whole lot of new research showing that they're actually healthier. And so I just took the prototype we had here and started writing it every day. Like, instead of getting so focused on what's wrong with my business or, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I mean, I had a staff of six. Like, what are we going to do? I just started saying, well, what's working today? What's good today? What am I thankful for today? What am I grateful for today? And I was really consistent with that. And it kept my mind in a really happy place, which just allowed me to keep doing what I was doing. So it was a whole bunch of things.
Awesome.
But it's been an incredible journey. And I would have to say that I've had probably the most growth in my business. And that doesn't mean you've made the most money. And I don't know, people confuse that sometimes. I was just making the money, the same amount of money, which was good money, every year. Like, there was really not any growth. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you don't really seek growth because, well, I'm making really good money, but it was sort of like, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. And so this year, we've actually had growth in that I started tracking every number. How many people do we have on Instagram the next Monday? How many people do we have on Instagram today? How many people do I have on Facebook? How many people do we have on LinkedIn? How many people opened this? How many people looked at our blog? Like, I started tracking everything. And that started getting me excited because I actually saw the growth. You know, every week it was an extra 50 or an extra 100 or sometimes 250. And then you're able to, and I can go back and look at it. And then when I saw, like, oh my gosh, we had a big dip, I like go, oh, what didn't I do that week? Or what did I miss? You know what I mean? And then on weeks that we had huge growth, I'm like, what did I do? What did I do to have such, like, bigger growth? Or what was my subject that I talked on that clearly resonated with people that they opened? So I'm able to track, you're able to change your behavior or adjust your behavior or whatever based on your numbers. And at first my staff wasn't into that either. They thought it was a huge waste of time to collect this data every week and then go over it every week. And I'm like, I don't care. I really got back in the driver's seat of my own business, to be honest with you too. As a CEO, I had a lot of people that I've hired and were doing the job, and I peeled back that whole onion and just said, now I'm back in the driver's seat of my own business because I'm brand new. I wouldn't have all these people if I were brand new. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's my answer.
That's awesome. It's so awesome though. I thank you for sharing that because it's, you know, I think people get really stuck when they stop looking at things from a fresh perspective and get really stuck and stagnant of like, this is working, but it doesn't inspire growth. It doesn't inspire you to serve in unique ways. And you don't have to overthink it. You always just meet people where they're at, but the technology does change, right? So you're now doing things virtually where you were doing them in person before. I don't know if we're fully ever going to go back. It'll be very interesting to see. I think we will because people really, you know, love to. There's nothing like the energy you get when you connect with people in person. But I do think the virtual is going to be a big part of the future too.
Well, and that's another thing, if we're going to be super honest about it, is I see people saying, oh, I'll be glad when things get back to normal. And like, I had three buckets of how I earned income, and then there were little ones that were the icing on the cake. And I just shifted my speaking to, it's icing on the cake. It's not a bucket anymore. Like, I had to let go of that. That was a hard thing. That's how we've made the majority of our money for 25 years. So to say, okay, I just took it off my bucket. It's not a bucket. And even my assistant who's been with me for that whole 25 years the other day said, well, pretty soon then we can put that back as the main bucket. I go, oh, no, we're not. Like, that's right. Just going to be icing on the cake now.
Right.
We get that. It's just extra.
Exactly.
Because I don't know when it's ever going to go back or if it will ever go back to being in a crowd of 16,000 people. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
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 So why pretend like it is, or why sit and wait and be hopeful for something when I can make other things happen, create a different bucket?
That's right.
I always do encourage people to have sort of three buckets, three, take your business and have three, not separate businesses, but in that business, what are three streams of income? What are three buckets that you can be sort of working on that bring income in? And one might be your focus, but then you've got a secondary one and a third one. And in that way, if something happens to one of them, at least the other two are functioning. And then anything else you do then is icing on the cake. That also helps people to stay focused. Like sometimes, like you said this so eloquently a couple different times that I didn't get a chance to like comment, but you know, I could write another book, but does that serve me? Does it really serve me with my, and I would say to you, with one of your three buckets of how you're earning mm-hmm. income? Mm-hmm. And you would probably say, no, if I wrote a book, it would be when I have time and it would be icing on the cake. It would just be extra. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I always catch myself when anybody goes, well, we could go do this or we could go do that. Does it serve one of my three buckets right now? That's what I had to keep saying this last year. And I think my staff got tired of that too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, does it serve one of our three buckets? Because if it doesn't, we're not doing it right now. And when you're really trying to grow a business, you have to get that specific or you'll just be all over the place.
Yeah. And you have to practice what I like to call strategic ignorance. Like you can't, you know, that's why it's like only the three buckets are great. But I mean, even just have one offering to start. Don't have 20 mm-hmm. offerings. Don't, you know, it's confusing for people if you don't know how to sell it. Do the same thing over and over again till you can sell it backwards, forwards, sideways, and inside out. Do the same
Correct.
Thing. Then you add on more offerings because it will help you focus and build confidence and proof of concept that you can do sales. And you do have good skill sets, and sales are hard to master. I mean, they're not easy, but they can, once you have the foundations down, then you know you can do it, and yep. you just keep doing it. So,
oh, well, this has been really awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And to all of our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I surely did. It had so many gold nuggets. I always recommend go back and listen to it again, maybe when you're not as preoccupied so that you can take a few notes. And also subscribe because we appreciate that. And leave us a review or a rating because that really helps both of us and we both appreciate it. So again, thanks everyone for being a part of our show today, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.